From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever cape wearing, ever vampiric, ever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey there, Bob. How's it going?
Did you just steal my... catchphrase? Oh,
I could say it back to you, right?
I mean, you can, but...
Can I say, oh, hi there?
No, because then I just feel like you're like a bootleg
copy. Oh, hi.
You need your own, man. You need your own, like, you need your own phrase there. So maybe we got to work on that.
Giddy
now.
Up, partners.
Giddy up. Howdy there. Howdy. That's not really a vampiric greeting.
Howdy, boys and girls. Like, that could be hello, something. We could arrange something like that.
Yeah, we got to work on you. Yeah, but anyway, we'll hello, Count Panic.
How's it going, Bob?
Oh, it's going great. How about you? What's going on in the world of Count Panic?
Oh, you know, Bob, just living the dream here, of course. I will give you time to post some stuff.
Absolutely. This is where we need the weekend update.
The weekend update, if I remember correctly, of course, a lot of things still going on around here in the region, despite really nothing happening at all. Kind of got to make your own fun out there, Bob. So with everything kind of closed down, things not happening because of course, the pandemic we shall not name. Not a lot going on these summer weekends, which is kind of a drag. You kind of got to make your own fun, as I said there. But
we've made our own fun.
I mean, you notice you're a guy that goes to functions and festivities during the summer.
Yeah.
I get the health and safety reasons, but it's still a bummer when you. When, you know, things were planned during the weekend, nothing can happen in these summer months.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Did you do anything fun this weekend?
You know, it wasn't like last weekend, because last weekend, of course, Pierogi Fest.
It
didn't happen, but I kind of made my own fun there with that. But this weekend, what would have been this weekend? I'm not sure. You know what would it be happening this week?
I would have been at Gen Con.
You would have been at Gen Con. I would have been at the county fair. Of course, because vampires love the county fair.
You know, we got accepted for the first time, like, ever in the history of probably Gen Con. We were there. We got accepted to host a panel.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been... Gen Con is one of the biggest conventions in the world, right? They're a board gaming convention. And, like, I don't really know how to describe it, because that con is one of a kind. It's mostly meant for board gaming, but there's also, like... some nerdy counterculture stuff going on there and like cosplay stuff. And we got accepted to do a panel. Now, unfortunately with COVID that was, you know, nixed, but it's okay. We move on and next year is another year. And I'm sure if we got accepted this year, we'll get accepted next year.
Yeah. You know, it's just a drag, you know, cause we gotta have our own panels in our backyard right now, you know?
Absolutely. But you know what, to make up for us not being at Gen Con, we actually have probably one of the coolest interviews we're ever going to have up to this date on the show. Yeah. I'm very excited.
Today.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We got coming here soon enough, just a few minutes or so. Meg Viola, she, of course, the creator of Attack of the Mothman. Now, Meg is a great filmmaker, animator, and I know we're going to post a trailer later on
to
the page.
Yes, you guys can go check that out.
We're going to talk. And Bob, we all know Bob's fondness of Mothman.
Yes,
so
this
beautiful thing.
I'm very, very excited to be sharing this episode with everybody. It's going to be very excited. And this is actually month kicked off Viewer's Choice Month when we dive into the lore of the week. But before we get into all that, let's talk a little bit about what Bob After Dark is for all of our new listeners out there in podcast land and watching us on the live show. Bob After Dark is a show about legends, lore, and the supernatural. It's where me and Count Panic look at things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird things that your family told you would be lurking into the shadows. Me and Panic are out there investigating that, trying to figure out what exactly is out there in the dark. And in the meantime, I teach Panic a little something, something about all the dark side of things.
I learn something new every time.
Every week. Yeah, unless we do a Yule Cat episode, in which case Count Panic will probably teach me something.
I know a few things about Yule Cat by now.
We also do some creepy news stories of the week. That's where we talk about anything in the news that's weird and spooky and any kind of weird advances in science fiction that goes beyond the weird advances in science that borderlines on science fiction. I always mess that line up every week.
Yeah, we'll get it down eventually.
Eventually. I wrote it, and I still mess it up.
You
so anyways,
get cue cards, you know?
Can we get a prompter?
I'll see if it's in the budget.
Budget. So that's it's weird advances in science that borderline on science fiction. I only have one story for us this week because I wanted to make sure we had enough time for Viola, our Mag Viola, to talk a little bit tonight. And I'm very excited to have her. And then for this week for Viewer's Choice Month, we had dozens and dozens of entries. So I'm very excited. We picked one at random and I'm pretty excited to talk about that. But more about that later. While we wait for Meg to join us.
Yeah, we got.
We have a review.
Sure, a review.
We have a review.
What kind of review?
It's a podcast review.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's 5-star review.
Oh, that's perfect.
It's a 5-star review, which means you need to cheers.
It's better than 4-star. Okay,
it's better than 4-star. This is from Jen Peters 86, and Jen Peters 86 writes, Jennifer Before Lunch, which I thought was a clever title for a review. It says, love the show. I had learned about it from listening to Ghostly Podcast, our sister show. I have always been interested in all the creepy things, and these podcasts give me the chills. I crave and listening makes my my day speed by until lunchtime break, which is a huge plus. Thank you, Jen Peters 86.
Nice.
That's great. That's very nice of you. Cheers, Count Panica. Cheers to you.
Cheers to you,
Jen
Bob.
Peters. Cheers. We appreciate you.
I don't have a glass, but I'm cheersing right now.
Do you want to be like Jen Peters and get a get a cheers live on air? Or well, if you're listening on podcast land, it's not very much live. But if you want to get your name shouted out, if you're listening to us in podcast land and you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, even if you're not listening to us on Apple Podcasts, you can still go over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. Because we're on every platform that you could listen to podcasts at. We're on Upcast, Downcast, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Meowcast. We're on everything.
Meowcast?
Meowcast really isn't a podcast network. Oh. I made that up one time. I was trying to be like, oh, you know, cute. I'm like, oh, we're on everything, even Meowcast, which, by the way, a fan at a show was like, you know, Meowcast is a real thing. I said, is it a podcast service? She said, no, it's like a weather service with cats.
It's about cats, right?
It's a weather app, yeah. I guess, that shows cat pictures.
Yeah, well, hey, you know what? It's a time and place for everything. So about cats, cats are all the rage these days. You know, I'm a dog guy myself, but
I will always be a dog person. But
aren't you a cat guy now, technically?
I have cats in my possession. I happen to enjoy their company, but I will always be a dog person. Or you just roll around with a puppy, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. Eventually, yeah. No, for sure.
Okay, now we're getting Meg on right now, right?
Yep. As soon as we connect the call here, we sent the Zoom invite, so we're just waiting for the acceptance there. So.
Okay. During the call, during the Zoom call for our fans that are watching us live, I think that you guys can interact with Meg on the phone. There's no guarantee that's going to work. We're a technology advanced studio here on WJOB, but sometimes things happen. And if you guys call and want to interact with Meg and she can't hear you, just hailing in there and me or Panic will, you know, transcribe your question to her. We have her on the line.
I believe so. And you could hear us, right?
Yeah.
Okay. She can hear us. Let's bring her on here.
You know what? Before we start, I just want to point out that I am so happy that we had this work on the first try, because let me tell you, I actually had a panic dream last night, no pun intended, that Panic messed us up.
You know what? It's always technology that screws up sometimes, but I think we connected on the first try.
Absolutely.
Which is rare.
I'm proud of you.
It's very rare.
I'm very proud of you.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, Meg.
Hi. I'm proud of you guys, too, for getting this working. This is great.
All right. So I don't want to talk too much. I'm very, very excited to have you on, and I want to hear all about you. So tell me, who is Meg Viola?
Oh, boy. Well, I am an artist and animator. I work in games currently. The Mothman short film was my student film back in college, And I made it. It was sort of my original brainchild because I just love Mothman so much. And I understand we have that in common, Bob.
Oh, we have that so much in common. It's kind of ridiculous.
Mothman's pretty great. I think he's the best cryptid.
Oh, Mothman is the absolute best cryptid. So tell me a little bit about the inspiration to the attack of Mothman. I want to hear what came about it, other than it's your favorite cryptid.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So when I was a kid, I used to watch the History Channel, and they always had those like late night cryptid shows. And Mothman just really stood out to me from those because I thought, you know, he could just be like this big bumbling night creature. You know, he might not be this harbinger of death. He might just be misunderstood. And I just kind of wanted to hug him, you know, wanted to give Mothman a hug and be like, I understand you, Mothman. It's okay. So I thought of this idea just, I thought it'd be really fun to see that Mothman has this like backstory where he had this best friend. And I was thinking the film would probably be before, you know, he's like a young dorky teenager before he realizes he's big and scary.
So you came up with the concept of a Mothman origin story, or like the coming of age Mothman.
Yeah, sort of. And, the film, it was just a student film, so it was a little bit limiting. We didn't get to really tell the whole story, but I had this whole idea of how Mothman and the little girl would be like growing up together, and he'd start out as this little tiny moth and like really quickly outgrow her, and they'd go on adventures, and I thought Mothman would be a great pal to have.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, if you were to create a feature film based on this, what are different things that you would have incorporated that you would really like to do?
Oh man, I really wanted to tell the backstory of how he destroys the bridge. I think it would have been really fun to like really include more of the Mothman lore in the real story. So maybe the girl gets kidnapped and he's trying to stop the kidnappers, so that's why he destroys the bridge. Or maybe he is freaked out by car headlights and he's just sick of cars driving through all the time. And so he wants to destroy the bridge to keep them away. I don't know. There's just so many possibilities. And I had so many fun ideas for the film that had to be cut down.
Now, what, have you ever considered doing a sequel?
I have, but it is a lot of work.
Oh,
short film.
I'm sure.
That film took me and my two thesis partners a year and a half to make, and it's only like 3 minutes or so long.
You can tell the work that goes into it. I'll be completely honest with you. I didn't know about it until one of my fans pointed it out to me on our fan page and said, Bob, have you seen this? And I said, no, what is this? And I'm watching it. I'm like, this is like something you would see before, like the Pixar movies, you know, like their shorts.
I
don't have any connections at Pixar. I'll be completely honest. Compank, do we have connections at Pixar?
I can make a few phone calls, Bob.
I want to see Attack of Mothman on before the next before Toy Story 5.
All right, we'll call it in.
I want to just ask you a couple more questions here, Meg, about the short.
Absolutely.
Where did the sock thing come from? Because that was the most clever thing, and there's no lore anywhere about the Mothman and socks, but now I want to write it in as as law, you know?
Well, you know, moths eat wool, so I was thinking, like, part of it was going to be I was going to have her in, like, a big sweater with little holes in it, and he would be, like, nibbling on her shoulder and stuff. But I thought socks would be just, like, a great little treat for him if he's part moth. Good wool socks.
That's absolutely amazing. Now, outside of making the attack on Mothman, do you like any other cryptids, or is Mothman just like it?
I love all cryptids. I think it's so fascinating. I love drawing creatures. That's my favorite thing. So I get a lot of inspiration from nature. And I love thinking about these mysteries that could exist and we don't even know, because there's no proof and there's no good photos. And I like wondering about the what ifs in this world. So actually, another thesis idea that we had pitched was about the California Nightwalkers. You know those.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That would be a cool, that'd be a cool
little walking ghost.
Yeah, that'd be a cool animation thing. That'd be fun.
The idea was that that it would be like this little girl out on Halloween, and she would lose her two older siblings that were dressed as ghosts, and then she would run into these California Nightwalkers after she loses her glasses, and she would think that they were her siblings, and she would just go take them trick-or-treating. And they're like these weird aliens that are like, I don't know what's going on, but candy's great.
That's absolutely wonderful. And I want to point out real quick, I got a fanboy out, because I don't get fanboy out on my show ever. I absolutely adored the fact that you gave some humility to Mothman, like human qualities. So you watch something like The Mothman Prophecies, which is fine, it's a great movie, and you read John Keel's work, and you get that side. And then you watch this, and it's more human, it's more fun, and it's more cute and friendly, and I can appreciate that side of things, because the lore of Mothman's not fun like that. It's scary and
dark
terrifying.
And scary.
Yeah, so how was it coming up with the contrast? Was it just a simple transition from spooky and evil, and not evil, but spooky and scary, to kind of like child friendly? Was that an easy transition or no?
I've always loved big misunderstood monsters. Like, one of my favorite movies growing up was The Iron Giant. Mm-hmm. So I took a lot of inspiration from that, where he's this like big deadly robot, but he doesn't know he's big and deadly until he figures it out at the end, but he gets to choose to be lovable and kind. And, I like to think we all have the choice to be lovable and kind, even if you're a big scary monster like Mothman.
I think that's a good lesson for everybody to kind of take away from, like, the world we live in now, Meg. It's, we live in a really weird world, so maybe that's a good lesson for everybody to get from what you just said.
Oh, thanks, Bob. Oh. I gotta know, what makes Mothman your favorite?
Oh.
And I know you could talk about Mothman all day, but I want to hear it. I want to hear it.
The one and only cryptid sighting I've ever had. I've heard things.
You've seen Mothman? I'm so jealous.
I have a legitimate, true-to-life belief that the Mothman came to me, which kind of sparked my journey into the whole Bob After Dark thing, because it was a domino effect, and now my life and my livelihood, my career, is going around talking about things that make no sense and whatnot. So my honest to God truth is that I believe I actually seen him and experienced something with him. So that's my answer. And ever since,
was it in Point Pleasant?
It was not. It was in Chicago.
He did go to Chicago. I saw that news article.
Yeah, he's actually was just here last year. Me and Panic were following those stories closely. The first I saw him back 2017 would have been like the first real big sightings of him, right around that time is when I saw him, during the same exact timing that there were the Midway Airport reports and the FAA like actual reports. So that's it. And my office and my studio is all Mothman decked out, so that's my whole life. I did a panel back in February at OhioCon in Columbus, Ohio, and I got there and I was blown away by how much Mothman merch I had, or not I had, but like the con had, and I bought. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess
so much of it. So now you have it too.
All right, I want you to plug what you're working on now. Plug where you're at now. Do you have merch for the movie? Do you have plans to do more merch? Because we need an autographed poster, Count Panic and I.
Yeah.
So what's next for you?
Oh man, surviving this pandemic. gonna keep working on games.
Are you working on video games or board games?
Video games. Yeah.
Can you tell us what video games you're working on or no?
Ooh, I can't. It's a secret.
Secret.
Oh,
secret.
Oh man, can we get breaking news on Bob After Dark?
Yeah, breaking news. Well, let us know when it does come out.
We're not a video game show, yeah. But
yeah, I would love eventually to be making my own games, and then there's definitely a cryptid collector on the list of ideas. So
hear me out.
Where you can have Mothman as your bro, and you can go on adventures together, would just be the dream.
All right, Meg. Hold before you continue, I just hear out my pitch.
Oh yeah,
Bob
sure.
After Dark, the video game. I hear me out. I think it would be a triple platinum title. I think every person in America would want to play that game.
Tell me about it, Bob. What's your game? I want to hear it.
I don't know. I just came up with that on top of my head. The Bob After Dark video game would be just me and Panic like going around and hunting down cryptids and paranormal investigating.
Yeah,
we'd ghost hunt and stuff like that. I think it'd be great. And we could go around.
Cool.
Or it's a Pokemon Go West game where you're dealing with cryptids and you're, you know, going out into the world trying to find them. I don't know, something like that.
Oh, man, that would be awesome. And then, you know, the player just gets to be part of the Bob crew, going out, catching cryptids, befriending them, joining their gang, going out and causing mischief.
Man, Meg's a bigger supporter than you, Cal.
I told you.
Cal, I think you're fired. I think I'm bringing Megan as my new producer.
Hey, I figured out Zoom today. That's something. We're getting it. Progress.
All right, back to you pitching your stuff. So you're working on games, but you also have a, which I'll share on the social media, but you have your own personal art stuff. So pitch it, plug it, do your thing.
I make lots of fun, silly art. If you liked the thesis film, that's a lot of my art, is that fun, silly, goofy monsters, creatures, all that good stuff.
Oh my God. Your thesis project was the Mothman punching the van onto the moon, right?
Oh, that was a different project. Okay. That was actually one of the things that sparked the idea for the film.
Yes. I didn't know that was a thing until you physically shared it with me. So you knew what you wanted to draw before you even got into Attack of the Mothman.
Yeah, that was my favorite project I did at school. So then when we were thinking of ideas, that just was top of mind, and it quickly became everyone's favorite of the ideas. So definitely had to be made.
That's amazing. I'm really excited you decided to come on with us, Meg, and I'm really excited to see what's next for you. I understand it takes a lot to make animation work. I don't know how to do it. You don't want me knowing how to do it, because my animations would turn out like nothing, a flipbook. But no, I really appreciate that, and I can't thank you enough for creating something outside the norm for the paranormal, because, you know, something we thrive for on Bob After Dark is we try to be, you know, your run-of-the-mill paranormal show, but we like to have our own spin on it. We're guys that like to have fun. And it's so cool that you took this thing that I've seen countless times on, you know, the Travel Channel, which is always fine and dandy. I appreciate that stuff. You need to know it. But I just, I really like the idea that you were able to make it your own. And you did have a fan shout out in our chat here, Meg. Vixis Nay says, Meg, the Mothman film is so great. I'm such a fan, and the Mothman purbles in your film. It like purrs almost.
Yeah, that was actually me.
Well, now Bob's going to ask you to do it, so be careful out there. Yeah. Oh, there we go. That's really good. That's really good.
That's, thank you for sharing that, Meg.
That'd be my ringtone.
Anytime.
So if you were to do one more Mothman project, you said it would take some time and it would take a lot of thought and whatnot, but do you have an idea of what you would do 100% for a sequel or in your next project?
I've got a good idea of what I would want to do for it. It would definitely be a sequel, maybe just some like quicker hand-drawn stuff instead of the full CGI. But yeah, I have a lot more ideas with this film, so it would be cool to revisit it and bring it back to life.
And when did the movie come out, Meg?
Oh gosh, that must have been 2017 that it came out.
We've been sitting on this movie for since 2017.
I guess so, yeah.
How did we not know about it?
It was brought to our attention.
It
here.
Was definitely, yeah. Well, now everybody's going to see it, because, yeah, you know, Bob After Dark's
the bump.
It's the thing that's going to, people are going to be hitting you up now, being like, "Aren't you the Mothman girl?"
Oh man, that'd be great. More people should talk to me about Mothman.
I want to know where you can find the film. I want to know where you can see it.
Yeah, where can we see? I know where I could see it, but where can we see the Mothman film now if somebody wants to go and watch it? I'll share it, obviously, to the page. But
yeah, just go to YouTube, and the film is called Attack of the Mothman, and it should be the first one that comes up.
I hope it's the first one that comes up.
Copyright. Yeah.
Copyright. Yeah. And if somebody wants to watch the short that kind of inspired it, where can they see that at? Because that, I think, everybody needs to see, because it's hilarious, it's quick. But that one, like, brought a big old smile to my face, and I cackled hard. Where can somebody watch that film at?
That one's on my YouTube channel that I barely use, but I could post the link somewhere that people will see it.
Absolutely. Meg, thank you so much for taking some time out of your night and, you know, and your quarantine this to come talk to us on the show. This is great. I sent Count Panic out, and as soon as we heard about the film, I'm like, whoever made this movie, I hope they're from America, so the time zone thing makes like somewhat helps, but we need whoever made this movie on, and I think we couldn't have knocked it out of the park. You're a very lovely guest. And if you're ever...
Thanks so much, Bob.
If you make...
Great show.
Oh, thank you. If you make it to Chicago, we'd love to have you in the studio.
Social distance, of course.
My family lives in Chicago.
Social distancing, of course.
So when the quarantine's over, make your time to come out to see the family. But then come out, and we'd love to have you on the show. And maybe I'll hold the Mothman episode, because I haven't done a Mothman episode yet. Oh. But maybe I'll hold off until you can actually physically be here with me in the studio.
Oh, that would be great. And then you'll have to introduce me to Mothman, since you know him.
Never met him again. I've always put it out there in the universe and said, hey, Mothy, if you're out there.
Mothman.
A moth person, I guess. It's 2020, right? But yeah. if you're out there, I would love to meet you again, because I owe Mothman a thank you. He did actually something for me that was very special. At least I think it was Mothman.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
I got one question here.
Oh, you have a question?
Right, yeah, shoot.
Back, yes. Count Panic.
The count.
I put my camera on again. So I have one question. Of course, Mothman, a very strong cryptid in the community. Have you heard of Yulcat? Have you ever heard of the Yulcat? Because maybe that one deserves the next movie, I think. Maybe the animation. Right, Bob? Maybe Meg could figure it out.
Meg, do you know who the Yulcat is?
I've heard him on your show.
Oh, thank you. Meg's a fan.
I haven't heard the explanation of Yulcat yet.
The Yulcat is a thing we talk about at Christmas time. It's Count Panic's favorite cryptid.
It's a good cryptid.
And it's just literally a giant cat that runs around Iceland. And will eat it'll eat you if you didn't get new clothes for Christmas.
There you go.
That does sound like a short
That'd
film.
Be a good Christmas film
itself.
Right there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a family classic.
Yeah.
Now, Count, if she ends up making the Yulcat movie before the Bob After Dark movie, I'm coming for
you. Okay, well, royalties no matter what. Royalties no matter what.
Meg, thank you so much, and keep enjoying the podcast, and we're going to be looking forward to your work. And as soon as you're able to announce what video game you're working on, you should like tell us and stuff, because that's kind of cool.
All right, definitely. Thanks so much, Bob. Thanks for having me on the show.
No, that was great. Yeah. Everybody, that's Meg Viola, the creator, the animator, and the ever wonderful just person that created the animated short Attack of the Mothman, my new favorite animated short film of all time.
You know what, Bob? This would be a good place after Meg cuts out to take a break.
Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, during the break, you guys are going to hear some words from a podcast you should be listening to. And take a quick couple second break.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez.
All right, and we're back. That was really nice, Count. I can't hear you anymore, Count.
About that there, Bob. That was a great guest.
that was fantastic. Meg Viola. That was great. I was very much impressed and very excited that she decided to come aboard. Now, I only have one news article this week.
Okay, because we had a great guest there.
We did. This actually comes to us from listener Brandon. Brandon sends in a story coming to us from New York's Hudson Valley, and it is a woman reports being chased by Bigfoot in New York's Hudson Valley area. Investigator Gail Beatty with the Bigfoot Researchers of Hudson Valley spoke with a woman recently who claimed to have been chased by a Bigfoot in New York's Hudson Valley. According to the witness, who wished to remain anonymous, the encounter took place in Hyde Park on July 2nd. This huge creature came running towards her, she heard. You know, the bushes were parting and she heard these heavy footsteps, Beatty said in an interview with News 12 Westchester. The creature jumped in the tree above her and the branches and leaves started falling on her and the creature started to move from tree to tree, she said. It was terrifying. Beatty said the witness described the creature as being between 6 and 7 feet tall. The sighting's relative popularity has encouraged other witnesses to come forward and share similar experiences with Beatty. My son texted me yesterday and asked if this was about me and laughed, read one such report received by an investigator. My adult sons have been laughing at me and making jokes since I also live in Hyde Park in a wooded area and have had all kinds of animals in our backyard. In late June, a horrible smell woke me up. It smelled like acid and feces. So I got up and looked out upstairs, looked at the upstairs window, and there was something that looked like a gorilla. It turned around and looked at me. I used a flashlight. I was so scared, and I went back to bed afraid to look again. I was going to call my sons, but it was 3 a.m. And another report coming from July 25th came from a man who said he heard strange screams and howls while walking his dog. And these things have eerily been recorded also in Canada, Ohio, and Wisconsin. So clearly there's more Bigfoot sightings now in 2020.
Well, you know what? Nothing surprises me. Maybe the Bigfoot are fed up with 2020 as well.
They're done.
They're coming out of the woods. And they want to be seen. This is the year they want to be seen, Bob.
Maybe the Sasquatch, as we learned from the last episode, or a couple episodes ago, maybe the Sasquatch just want to be left alone. Maybe they just want to be heard and seen. It's 2020, man. Why not have more, you know, things come out?
Do you think there's a lot of lonely Bigfoot out there?
I mean, sure. Are you thinking about starting an app, BigfootMeet.com?
Maybe a sanctuary.
Sasquatch Meet?
Something where they could just meet up and have fun. Like, maybe gather up all the Bigfoots and just put them in one place to have a good time. Card games, pool, all that good stuff. Jacuzzi.
That sounds great.
You don't seem too thrilled about it, but I
don't know. It's a Bigfoot.
It's a resort.
It's a Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Getaway resort.
Yeah, a resort for the Sasquatch out there.
Why stop there? We should have the resort being about, like, everything. Cryptids could just go there, but humans can't.
If Meg's listening, that'd be a great animated film, the Sasquatch Resort there.
I feel like that would be ripping off a certain, DreamWorks movie starring Adam Sandler. It's an animated film series.
Okay, okay.
Hotel Transylvania.
Yeah, but that's not exactly Sasquatch. It's,
I'm just saying, it sounds really close to a certain Hotel Transylvania.
All right, well, they won't know. What's the worst that could happen there, Bob? Nothing. Plus, we could call Pixar. We'll get the rights. Don't worry.
That wasn't Pixar. That was DreamWorks. You call Pixar, and it's like, can I get the rights to Hotel Transylvania?
I only know the people at Pixar. DreamWorks,
and someone at Pixar is just like, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's going to be like $10.
Yeah, well, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But I did tell you I saw that documentary, right?
No, what documentary?
About the Bigfoot.
You watched Wait, you did research outside of coming here?
I told you about it a couple weeks ago.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, the Sasquatch, he lives with his family. They take him in.
Oh.
They have a great time together.
Harry and the Hendersons.
That's not
a documentary.
Harry and the Hendersons.
That's not a documentary.
Yeah, well, it could have fooled me.
That was a Hollywood cinema feature film.
It was a great one. It was indeed. They need to make a couple sequels more of that. I think they had a sequel, but maybe have a couple more.
That's good job, Count.
Thank you, Bob.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So, Count, it is Viewer's Choice Month.
Viewer's Choice.
And before we get to Viewer's Choice, real quick, because I'm a little sidetracked because of the interview and making sure things worked out properly.
And it did, surprisingly.
Do you have news articles and want to get a shout out like Brandon that you come across in the world of news that might be paranormal themed or weird advances in science that border on science fiction? Do you have a photo you'd like to share or a spooky encounter, which we're going to get to now because I completely forgot about that too. Make sure you reach out to us, but let's share this encounter real fast before we dive into the lore of the week.
Sure.
Because I totally screwed that up. And this one's actually not much of, I don't think they were intending to reach out to me for this episode, because I don't think they knew about the show before. They're actually from Florida.
Okay.
Someone tagged me in a post from this person. Her name's Whitney. And Whitney puts out there and says, does anybody know anything about paranormal investigations or that sort of thing. And I'm like, me. Someone tagged me in it, and Whitney reached out and said, hey, what do you know about the paranormal? You know, I'm experiencing some things. And I said, well, Whitney, I happen to run a very successful paranormal podcast / radio show. And she said, well, I have a really weird story if you listen to me and don't think I'm crazy. And I said, absolutely not. And this is what she shares. Now I'm going to be reading this word from word. I think Whitney was just kind of sending it in spurts, so just kind of bear with it. It's not a flowing story, but it's a story nonetheless. And it begins, so it started like a week ago. I was sleeping and I hear someone whisper someone's name, but it wasn't my baby's name through the baby monitor. This happened two times and with two different names. Then yesterday, after my husband got injured, we got home and a toy that was on one side of the room and was thrown to the other, and we caught it. We saw it mid-flight and it landing. We both turned around and saw the landing. Then today we went into my son's room and it was cold and the hair stood up on the back of our neck and arms. Also, I'm home alone and I hear thumping and banging upstairs with no one else in the house. My daughter says her grandma comes and visits her, so I'm like, okay, cool. But why wouldn't my husband's father visit too? Nothing mean or I fear in my life. No rotten smells. No three knocks. Nada. I sage the house and asked it to leave us be if it was to cause harm, and put up a cross and said a prayer from the Bible and of Jewish faith. And we went back and forth. You know, that's general stuff when you hear stuff is like, are there any, you know, any ways that an animal could get into the home, because they can kind of get in between floors and they could kind of scatter about and make it sound like a human stomping around. And I asked if there was, you know, standard stuff. Why is there any wiring issues in the house or anything like that? And as far as the baby monitor stuff, I want to point out that the baby monitor can pick up interference from things like cell phones. But let me tell you, regardless of it might be interference, it might be, you know, some ghostly presence whispering a name into it. Let me tell you how horrifying that's got to be for the person who has the baby monitor that wasn't expecting voices to come through said baby monitor. Can you imagine how frightening that's got to be, Count, if you were a mother of an infant and you were doing, you know, you heard a voice over something that you were supposed to be taking care of? That'd be horrifying.
Mm-hmm. Very terrifying. You're right. Yes, indeed, Bob.
So Whitney goes on and tells me, so my husband's father makes his presence well known. He has a history of turning on unplugged radios, which is scary nonetheless. My husband has had a lot of health issues and saw his dad in the hospital doorway when he was not able to breathe and almost had a heart attack. Since then, we've had activity. And when my husband got hurt badly yesterday, the activity happened more. And then she just goes on and asking about being scared. And I said, I don't really buy in too much with the monitors because they could really pick up some, you know, they could pick up a cell phone signal. And it's definitely something. And I kind of explained it. If it was her father-in-law that was still hanging around the parts, you know, what could it be, right? And I said, you know, if it is your father-in-law, then whatever, you know, it's not a big deal. He's there for a reason. He just wants his presence to be heard, and especially if his son got hurt. So I just wanted to say thank you so much, Whitney, for reaching out and giving us permission to share this story on the show this week.
Very nice.
Absolutely. Yeah. So thank you, Whitney.
Indeed.
Do you want to be like Whitney?
I was waiting for that part.
Do you want to be like Whitney and share?
You had a dramatic pause in there, I noticed.
Absolutely. I am my water's empty.
Sure. Oh, no. We got to get the sink right.
I need a hose. You could ask. I have cups and stuff, but, you know, you go through that water so
fast. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, it's okay. If you want to be like Whitney and share a paranormal experience that you have, make sure you reach out to us. You can reach us on Instagram at Bob After Dark. Reach out to us on the Facebook page, Bob After Dark, facebook.com/Bob After Dark. Or you can email us, Bob@BobAfterDark.com. You can reach out to us and happily say hello, and we're excited to hear any of your stories. That goes for the news articles as well. If you come across those like Brandon, feel free to reach out to us. Now we could talk about the lore of the week. It's kind of hard when you throw it, not a wrench, but like when something new happens in the show and you're trying to like accustom for time, but you don't want to skip anything.
It's been a while since we had a guest. I mean,
we haven't had a guest in a long time.
Well, When's the last? I mean, it had to be in the maybe last summer.
It's been a while. We need more guests. Are you a guest? Do you think you could be a guest on Bob After Dark? Are you an expert into the paranormal or done something creative like, you know, Meg right there? Then you could reach out to us too. We'd love to
reach
have
out
you.
To us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reach out and
we can Zoom.
Reach out and talk us.
We know Zoom. We're professionals in Zoom. I could Zoom with anybody.
All right. So, lore of the week. This is the meat and potatoes of the episode. This is where we get some content that we focus on, and we talk a little bit about what's going on with the world of the occult or paranormal or something. And this month, we decided to theme the month, or I decided to theme the month, Viewer's Choice Month. This is where you, the fans, get to decide what we talk about. And our first topic actually comes to us from a gentleman that has become a very dear friend of mine and a big, big fan of the show. His name is Sergeant Pepper.
Sergeant
that's
Pepper.
That's his synonym online. Oh, okay. You know, he doesn't want me sharing his real name, but you can find Sarge on Sarge. Sometimes chime in the chat.
Yeah.
You could see Sarge, and he'll chime in from time to time. He shares the post, and Sarge is actually one of the people that got me booked at OhioCon this year. And since OhioCon, Sarge and I talk a lot. But he chipped in a really cool story, and I took all of the dozens and dozens of folk that submitted topics, and I just did a quick number generator, chimed them up with the number, and lo and behold, we got Sarge. And let me tell you, what a humdinger this first episode's about. Because this might be one of the most terrifying topics I think we've ever covered on the show, ever.
Well, I'm in suspense here.
Count Panic, this week we are going to be talking about the demonic horse creature known as the Nuckaleve.
The Nuckaleve.
The Nuckaleve. Nuckaleve. The Nuckaleve. It is spelled Nuckaleve. The Nuckaleve.
Nuckaleve.
Yeah.
The demonic horse creature.
Yes.
Okay.
The Nuckaleve is a creature from the Arcadian mythology, which originated in, well, surprise, the Orkney Islands north of Scotland. This creature was the most feared one of its kind and said to roam the Isles of the Orkney. It is kind of like a centaur, according to the surviving written lore, because the lore on this is really old. Like, very, like, we're talking pagans still running around dressed in hoods, and that was, like, the norm back in the day. We're talking, like, that kind of level of ancient. So the original, like, lore written about this is very old and very hard to, very kind of spooky stuff. And the lore basically says that sometimes the rider is separate from the horse, because it is like a, not a half human, half horse, but like a, the rider is a part of the mythos, but you don't really see the rider ever leaving the horse. So sometimes it says it's connected and sometimes it's not. And both the rider and the horse have two different characteristics. The horse is said to be a really big behemoth-esque creature with a wide, wide mouth and like a pig snout with one red glowing eye that glows the colors of fire. Mm. And the rider is said to be skinless with yellow veins pumping black blood.
Okay, well, that's terrifying if you saw that, yeah. I would turn the other way, for sure.
Oh, yeah, also the thing's hairless.
Oh, well,
both things are absolutely
hairless.
That's
the nail in the coffin right there. Those hairless things creep me out, you know, those hairless cats.
I say it's kind of like the centaur, because your centaur in Greek mythology is the half-man, half-horse, you know, creature or entity thing. But it's, in this case, it's not the body of a horse and the, you know, legs of a horse, body of a man.
Yeah.
This is the horse's its own entity, and then the body of the rider kind of right on the back there. And it reminds me so much, when I was reading over the lore for this thing, it kind of reminded me so much of one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse from, you know, Christianity mythos. And it kind of, I shouldn't say mythos, but the Christianity belief system, where they believe that there would be four horsemen of the apocalypse, pestilence, death, war, and famine. Did I get all those right count?
I think those are right. I'm familiar. I got to brush my apocalyptic horsemen there.
But in the Christianity, you learn about the four horsemen in the apocalypse.
Of course,
and this kind of sounds a little similar to the idea of pestilence or famine. And the idea is that the Nukuleve is said to come out of the water at certain parts of the year and go about the isles and destroy crops by breathing a poisonous, venomous breath onto the crops.
Terrifying. Well, so then these crops became tainted, right?
Absolutely. Ugh. And anytime there was a problem with, you know, a crop suddenly dying from, I guess you'd say, like a disease, people would blame it on the Nukuleve.
Of course.
And during those times as well, people would also say that the Nukuleve can control weather and patterns, much like the Wendigo could. Yeah. And in case of droughts, people would say that it was the Nukuleve causing the droughts as well. I have a really hard time not drawing the parallel to the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Because that's a really, you know, you got to think the horse and the horse rider coming in and causing something, right? You know, war would cause wars and famines would cause famines. This is kind of like the same thing. But the reason why I compare it to pestilence as well is because this horse was also able to breathe disease onto cattle and livestock, and it would disease them and kill them as well. So you're not only going to be killing crops and stuff like that, he would destroy that stuff as well.
And then in effect, it's like a domino effect. Those plants aren't good for harvest anymore. You can't eat those things. It's really destroying everything out there.
Mm-hmm. And it was said to actually attack 3/4 of the year.
3/4?
Yes, because it was only restrained in the water in the summertime by a deity known as the Mither of the Sea.
Mm.
And the Mither of the Sea was actually able to encase the Nukuleve under the waters in chasms in order to try to let the farmers have a good crop during that time of year.
Okay, all right.
And then they would come out. Now, when in the water, the creature takes a different form, but there is no living accounts to describe what exactly is this, what the Nukuleve looks like in the water. All we know is that it can change form in the water. We just don't know what it looks like, but it's said to have a different form.
Yeah.
There's little artist depictions of just like a horse head coming up out of the water, kind of like a shark.
That's still terrifying, yeah.
Yeah, and it would, you know, kind of wreck your stuff when you're out on the...
That's something you want to run into, Bob.
And Nukuleve, by the way, roughly translated, actually means the devil of the sea. And people to this day, even, you know, maybe not so much these days, but up until really recently, people were very superstitious about the Nukuleve, even to the point where if they mentioned the creature in conversation, they would say a little prayer or a blessing, like in between conversation, to actually, you know, kind of ward off the bad juju.
You gotta do it somehow. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. The one thing that you could do that would really, really anger the Nukuleve is by burning seaweed.
Burning the seaweed.
So people would actually take seaweed and burn it and use it as like a kind of like a plant food. I guess it was very nutritious and, you know, putting it in with soil and
you
mixing
would think
it with
it's
your
a plant.
Yeah,
you know,
and you mix it in with like livestock. I guess it's supposed to be really good. But because that kind of comes from the area that the Nukuleve comes from, it was an absolute fantastic, like, you know, absolute fantastic way of catching this thing and making it really angry and making its presence really known.
So you really don't want to capture it then, if that's the case, right?
No, you don't want, you don't need that at all. Like, that's a terrible thing.
Yeah, no. Some things you want to capture, some cryptids you may like to capture, but this is not one of them for sure.
No. Scary yet?
Kind of, well, you had me at hairless. I was scared when you mentioned hairless.
We've talked about hairless things in the past.
Yeah, but not like this. I mean, the veins, and I mean, just something, you know, that we got to think of there.
Mm-hmm. And it is said that the Nuckuleve is actually very territorial. So you don't see a herd of Nuckuleve like you would a herd of, like, wild horses running around. You would see one singular Nuckuleve because they were very territorial to the area that they were, I don't know if you'd call it assigned or area that they deemed necessary to kind of deal with. So that's the quick tale of that. I'm sure you want to know how you kill this thing, because that's something we like to talk about when we.
Of course, you always
got to
figure out how you kill some things there. Yeah.
Okay, so the one and only weakness that we know about the Nuckuleve is that it can't stand fresh water. There is a story written a very long time ago, and it's more of like an epic poem, about a younger farmer who was hanging out around the Isle's shores, and he was out and actually gathering seaweed for, you know, the plant life and the animal life. And he looked out and he saw the horse head coming from the water out to shore. And this farmer went and fought and ran real fast into the woods. And he could hear the horse chewing, like ripping out behind him and biting really hard and chasing after him. And he actually, like, it was scary. And there's actually like an old painting of the Nuckuleve chasing this farmer.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like this big chomping mouth coming from like the ridgeside and the canyons. And it's a horrifying picture. I'll see if I can find it and post it up. But the only thing he was able to do is he found running water, and he ran to it, swam in it. And as the horse went to bite him one last time, it stopped. And the young farmer was able to get to a little patch of area, like a little island type thing. It's not big enough to be like an inhabitable island, but a little area. And you could see the horse breathing out the fumes, but it's not able to get out towards the young farmer. And it's also said that if the Nuckuleve is out hunting during the raining, it would actually get stuck in its place because it's terrified from moving forward. We have a caller. You're
lost. We do have a caller, indeed. I turned my off. I take the phone call, but we have John on the line, actually.
John, you're calling late.
Better late than never, Bob.
Hi, John.
How you doing tonight?
Oh, not bad. How about you?
Pretty good. Hey, you know, there was a TV series long ago called The Fugitive. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
Oh, I'm sure I remember it, yes.
Well, it was about this doctor that he was accused of killing his wife, but he never did it. And he was always on the run. And, you know, he was always cited, but nobody could never catch him. And I'm not sure if there was a conclusion to the TV series or not. I'm pretty sure probably there was. But in connection with that, and my wife being a one heck of a Bigfoot fan, you know, she tells me that there's groups such as yourself that go out, you know, investigate the paranormal, only to go out hunting for Bigfoot. He's obviously been sighted and makes noises and such like that. But do you think there's ever going to be a conclusion in comparison to this TV show where, you know, the sightings and everything else that's coming with it is going to, you know, come to a head, so to speak, where they're going to capture him? Or is this going to be you know, an ongoing thing that nothing's never going to come out of it?
Whew, that's a hard question, John. I honestly think in reality is that technology is just going to keep getting more and more advanced. And I'm not talking like camera technology, because I mean that's growing too, but I'm talking like tracking technology and you know, pinpointing GPSs and satellite technology, stuff like that. And these parts of the woods and the jungles that we haven't really discovered and that we haven't really explored are going to all of a sudden be highlighted. If things like Bigfoot exist out there in the woods. It's only a matter of time before we find it. And now becomes like the soft side of me with, you know, cryptozoology is I don't necessarily think we need to find it. Now, I think there needs to be something for science and there needs to be advances in what we do that kind of makes us more legitimate in the scientific community. But I also know how we as humans act with situations like that. So I would I wish I had a better answer for you. I would think that the conclusion to all of this is we're eventually either going to prove that these things exist or they don't exist. So
yeah, that's a good answer. But, you know, he's portrayed to be as, you know, something vicious, if you will, or, you know, and perhaps it could be possible that he's the opposite. He could be gentle, but he's just scared of.
I've interviewed some people from the Sasquatch community, and they're very much a. They very much believe that it's a hyper intelligent, and it's staying hidden for a reason because I'm afraid what would happen to it would turn out to be very much like an ET story where the government's going to kind of come and take it for studying, and it doesn't need that. You know, let the cryptids be cryptids and let them run wild.
Well, I agree with you totally, but thank you for the info as always, Bob.
Absolutely, John. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Count Panic, we had another caller on the line.
That was just, no, somebody was informing me about, they're not on the line anymore, about being in a bar with a Bigfoot and not going to live at some point, but they are not on the line right now.
That's probably for the best. The second time we've ever been prank called, third time we've been prank called in Bob Eckberg
history.
We're supposed to have
an open mind here, Bob. So if somebody's sitting in the bar with a Bigfoot and a Nakaleva, who are we to doubt that? We can't.
Fair enough, Count Panic. Yes. So the we were saying about the rain. So fresh water will absolutely stop it dead in its tracks. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that reminds you of a certain vampiric lore that we talked about before.
We did. I remember that.
So
yes.
It kind of follows that rule of thumb. And I guess from what I've, you know, the more and more you research, it kind of sounds like fresh water is the answer to a lot of problems in the paranormal world.
You wouldn't think so. I mean, so I guess, you know, in a way, it's so pure, Bob, fresh water.
That it's strange. Yeah. You would think that if there was a demonic entity hanging out in the Scottish Isles, I don't think a lot of that, it's by the ocean, and the ocean is salt water. You would think that if there was a demonic force living in the ocean that's an actual demon, you would think that the salt from the water would be able to contain it. So I don't really know. It's an interesting kind of take on things. But in this case, fresh water, no salt is what you would use, and hope to God it rains the day that the Nakaleva comes for you.
There you go. Well, yeah, that's the thing. So is this the summon, Bob, we should have on hand at all times? Some pure, fresh water.
Absolutely. Aquafina, sponsor us.
Is Aquafina the go-to choice for pure fresh water?
Until they sponsor us. There's lots of bottled water brands out there, Cal Panic.
So it's got to be purified.
It's got to be sponsoring Bob After Dark.
Of course.
And then that's the one I'll be like, you guys should probably carry a bottle
with
you.
Just make our own water, too. You know that. How hard is it to make bottled water? Just get the hose out and start filling bottles. Can't be that.
And that's how Count Panic and Bob go to jail.
Yeah,
for false advertising.
From Lake Michigan.
Just go out there with some bottles. Like, what are you guys doing? We're making Nakaleva warding spells.
Yeah, are they to question? You know what? The beach is closed right now, so they won't suspect a thing. Two guys out there with some bottles. We'll be the only ones out there. Nobody question us.
All right, Count Panic. Do you have any final word? Oh, I believe we have a caller. Let's see if this is an actual caller and not a prank call. Who do we have on the line, Count Panic?
You have Jack on the line here.
Jack, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. How are you?
How are you, Jack?
I'm Jack.
Oh, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. Hey, I wanted to say something about the Nakaleva.
Yeah, let's see what you got.
Okay, so you probably, you know, found out in your research that the creature is similar to other creatures like the Kelpie.
Yes, and the Selpie.
The Nuggle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these horse-like creatures, or these half-man, half-horse-like creatures that, you know, they kind of lure their victims into the sea and drown them. There is a documentary called The Hidden Truth. It's done by Scott Marcus. who's a paranormal researcher. It's a fantastic documentary. And what it talks about is it goes into these drownings that have taken place in La Crosse, Wisconsin. These boys, like college-age boys, and over the course of several years, they drown, and they're all athletic. They also share a similar profile. And it is one of the theories is that there is a water spirit that's involved. I don't know if you've heard of the smiley face killers.
Yes. Yep.
It's also theorized that that it's not actually a serial killer cult, which is what the smiley face killers are, but it is actually it's a water spirit that are luring their victims into the sea, as they've done, time immemorial, back in ancient times, and we read about this all throughout mythology about, a young male being lured to the sea, and he's lured to his death. So, I just wanted to put my two cents in there.
And your two cents, Jack, are always welcome, especially during this coin shortage.
Hey, there you go.
I can make Jack laugh. You guys,
that was good.
Look, if you don't know who Jack is, before we let Jack go, and Jack, when he calls, I always make him talk about this book that's someday going to come out. I think Jack and I are racing to see when our books are actually going to come out.
Yeah, pretty much.
Jack, if you don't know who Jack is one of the most brilliant paranormal investigators I have ever met in my life. Jack has such a grounding on reality. It's great. Like he was telling me a story once. We were sitting at Chet's, which is one of the most haunted bars in Chicago, arguably probably America. Yeah. And he tells me a story about even how he researches things that are just weird about the kangaroo that was sighted in whatever neighborhood it was.
Kangaroo sightings in Chicago.
The kangaroo sightings in Chicago. And Jack just he doesn't just stop with the paranormal. He's such an investigative mind. And Jack's working on this book, and I can't wait till it comes out, because we're gonna have him on the show, and I demand an autographed copy.
You get it, both of you.
Thank you so much. Jack, talk about the book real quick before I let you go. For the new listeners, I'm sure people are tired of hearing it, but I'm not, so keep going.
It's a book that revolves around these creatures that are known as crawlers. And they're usually about 6 feet tall. They're emaciated looking. They're pale white, hairless. And they're usually seen in rural areas, usually around caves or in or by rivers or in cemeteries. And I actually have a scheduled interview with one of the witnesses, with another witness. This girl who saw it in Effingham, Illinois, near a cemetery right there. She saw a creature hunched over, and at first she thought it was somebody that was on drugs. But when they got closer, she realized that it wasn't even human. It looked more like a zombie-like creature or a ghoul. So that's what the book is about. It kind of is about the my journey into interviewing people that have sighted these creatures.
I am so excited for this book. And Jack, when the pandemic's over and we can have guests in here, I'd love to have you on a show. We'll talk about the Headless Horseman of is it Pullman?
It's in around the Pullman neighborhood.
Yeah, the Headless Horseman of Pullman. Jack, thank you so much for calling in, man. I could sit and, by the way, I want to say I could sit and talk to Jack for hours about just anything. So that episode would be derailed. I just call it A Night with Jack, and we would just no script talk. Thank you so much for calling in, Jack. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Panic. I'll see you guys later.
Take care.
Have a good
Jack.
One. Count. We appreciate people, don't we?
Yeah, we do. People keep the world going around, Bob.
Meg just messaged me and said that she's very interested in coming back to Chicago to do a Mothman episode when pandemic's
there
over.
There you go. We'll have to.
So I think that answers our question. When is the Mothman episode coming? That's probably the most asked question I get on Bob After Dark is when's the Mothman episode coming? And my answer is when Meg comes to Chicago.
There you have it.
Okay. Count, do you have a So I always ask you for closing words. Not an adage. What's the phrase I'm looking for?
Soliloquy.
Not a soliloquy. It's the
haiku.
A proverb. I want ancient. I want to hear a Count Panic proverb. That's what I want.
So words of wisdom is basically what you're asking. Well, we learned a lot. I can tell you what we learned here. You should always carry around pure water, pure fresh water.
Uh-huh.
Also, we learned that learn more about Meg and how. Her animation and the Attack of the Mothman there, so good stuff there. But the thing I will leave you with here,
that's what I want to hear. The recapping the episode for the people that just wanted to skip ahead through the episode, they get to the end for the Count Panic recap.
Like what we learned about there. But I would say if you're in a bar tonight and you're sitting with some cryptids, maybe best to take another drink. How about that?
Absolutely. I want to give a quick shout out to James. I saw him in the chat talking about pitch that pack of Dasani out back and make moon water. Dasani. That's Coca-Cola product.
Yeah.
If you're looking to sponsor a podcast.
We'll take anybody at this point.
Not anybody.
Well, any water company, right? We're not going to turn them down.
No, Hinkle & Smith wants to come here and give me a water cooler.
Yeah.
Like that's how I'm defending myself from the, from, you know, fill in the blank.
Yeah, I guess so.
So.
Any water company out there, though, let us know.
The Dasani.
Dasani, preferably, Dasani. I guess.
We need sponsors.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
Aquafina.
Whoever comes first.
Listen, before we leave here.
Yeah, okay. We're going to keep the episode going.
Just one question. Do you really have a preference of bottled water? Or is it?
Yeah, whoever sponsors the show first.
But if the St. Lita sponsors out of it, like, you don't have to rag on any company. Just... You know, can you
Nestle Pure Life?
Okay,
that's what I prefer.
All right, there you have it.
Yeah, but I mean, we'll Nestle Pure Life. If you're looking, but that answer could be swayed so easily by a simple one-time contribution.
Yeah. So keep it out there.
Just Bob After Dark, and then just the big old logo of
the door is open.
Bob
for
drinks such and such water while on the show.
The door is open for anybody out there.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for watching and listening to Bob After Dark this week. Thank you to Meg Viola, the creator of Attack of the Mothman, for being such a wonderful guest and for producing such a wonderful film. I'll have all of her details out so you guys can check her out within the day. Mom and Dad, wherever you guys are, I just want to wish you guys sweet dreams. Thanks for listening in to TIFF. No matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. Remember, the most two important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Till next time, children of the night.
Memoriam Development.